When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time to check out TBR, Book Riot's subscription service offering tailored book recommendations for readers of all stripes. With TBR, you tell our professional book nerds, we call them bibliologists, about your likes and dislikes, whether you want comfort or stretch reads, and of course, what your reading goals are, and then sit back while they comb through your Goodreads account, if you have one, and handpick recommendations and must-reads for you. TBR offers plans to receive 3 hardcover books in the mail or 3 recommendations by email, so there's an option for every budget, and the recommendations-only level is available worldwide. After each order, give your bibliologist feedback, update your requests to stay in line with your reading goals and expanding horizons, and basically have your own personal book concierge. Visit mytbr.co to sign up today. It only takes a few minutes. That's mytbr.co. Welcome to Hey YA. From great new books to favorite classic reads, news stories to the latest in on-screen adaptations, Hey YA is here to elevate the exciting world of young adult lit. Hey YA is a Book Riot podcast hosted by Erica Azafetti and me, Tirza Price. We are recording on Thursday, March 24th, 2022. Hello, Erica. How are you today?
I'm doing well, considering that this week has been a little weird, and March flew by.
I know.
And I'm still processing it. But how are you?
I feel the same, honestly. Yeah. It's been a busy week. It's been a tough week, and I cannot believe that this month is almost over with. It's kind of bizarre. I'm kind of tired today, but we're powering through, and I'm excited to be talking about books.
Yeah, at least there's that. At least there's the books. And also you have a really cute puppy,
I know.
Just putting your business out there. Your puppy's super cute.
I do. I have a new golden retriever puppy. He's 8 weeks old and his name is Zeke. Oh, and he's very floofy and very naughty and very adorable. And he's also very like adorable. Half the reason why I'm so tired, because he's still waking me up in the middle of the night. But I can forgive him because he's cute.
He's super cute. Yes. So at least there's that.
There's that. Yes. So let's see. Today, we have to start with some news, which is that last time you heard from us, we did this whole huge episode about recent YA books to movies and TV shows adaptations. And we somehow completely missed the fact that like Heartstopper by Alice Osman is being adapted, and a trailer literally dropped, I think, on the same day that our episode did. And I was like, shoot. Oh, how did we miss that? Like, we both missed it. So that's an exciting thing, is if you like the graphic novel series Heartstopper by Alice Osman, the trailer for the Netflix adaptation just dropped. It looks super cute. It looks very angsty in a, you know, but like in a good way.
Yes, deliciously angsty. And I will say to our, you know, to be fair on us, it's sometimes kind of confusing to keep up with like all the, you know, when people and companies, Paramount and Netflix and all these people option the rights to books. And then sometimes it doesn't go anywhere. And then sometimes it does. So this was probably mentioned, I feel like, a while ago, like as an option. So it's easy to, like, not keep track of them, lose track of them.
Yeah.
But yes, so I'm trying to, you know, give us a little leeway here. We did totally miss it, though.
Yes, we did totally miss it. I also feel like Netflix is really good at being like, yeah, we're working on it. And then like, oh, by the way, here's the trailer. It comes out next month. And you're like, wait a second, what? Yeah. So that's like a good problem to have, but it's also a lot to keep track of. And I mean, it means that we don't have to wait very long, because remember when you used to like see a movie trailer and be like, I have to wait 3 months for that? Now we just have to like wait a month. So that's nice.
Yeah, that's true. It's not helping my, what is it called? Like the I totally am blanking, but like when you have to wait for things and like versus getting them instantly, it's not helping
instant
that
instant gratification.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Tears of words. Thank you for the words. I can English only sometimes though.
Only sometimes.
Yes. It's not helping my urge to be instantly gratified, but it is a good problem to have, like you said. So I'm not mad.
Yes. So we'll add that to our cues.
Mm-hmm.
And today we are going to be judging some books by their covers.
Gasp.
Yay. Yeah, I totally judge books by their cover. I mean,
oh,
okay.
Yes, I do.
I don't like judge, like if it's a great book and it's a terrible cover, I don't like judge the book for it. But like we see books, we see their covers. And I think all of us pick up books because of the covers. So
honestly,
like, I had a professor in college who taught Kidlit who was like, children don't care about the book covers. They care about what's inside the books. And I was like, have you ever met a kid, like, a at all in your life? Because that's so not true. And I also feel like teens are the same way. I'm the same way, and I'm an adult. So I think it's just human. We like pretty things. And we want to talk about the pretty things. So go for it.
Yeah. And it's also, like, just before even getting like super deep into it, it's like, why would they put so much effort into covers if it, like, then all covers would just be like a plain, boring brown or black, you know, like monochrome color. Obviously, they're important because they're hiring artists and there's thought put into it and marketing and everything. So I guess that, I don't know, that professor might have just had some wishful thinking. Bless them. But
disconnected from reality is my opinion.
Yeah, I think so. It's definitely a big part of what I look forward to. Well, at what I look at. It helps you to get excited for a book, I feel.
Definitely. Covers definitely build hype. And
mm-hmm.
there was, you know, for a long time, like this trend of like having to do like big cover reveals in YA. And, you know, you try to get an outlet to do your cover reveal because it would like drum up interest. And I feel like, you know, YA is swinging a little bit in the other direction now where they're not necessarily spending as much time on, you know, those splashy cover reveals, unless you're like a really big name lead title. Mm-hmm. But they're still really important. There's still like timing involved. And I can tell you if, like, from the author side, like, yeah, it's definitely like there's a reason why your editor doesn't like show you your cover and then be like, OK, just, you know, put it on Instagram or your website, whenever. Like, they do want you to kind of time it because it can really drum up interest, and publishers want to kind of, you know, build on that momentum. So, because people love seeing pretty things and it gets people excited about books. I always notice a huge uptick in like Goodreads ads whenever a cover is revealed. So, they're definitely important.
Honestly. So, what are covers that you like? What do you tend to look for in a cover?
I mean, at the risk of sounding basic, I just like something that is like pretty and catches my eye, which I think is very vague. And that can mean a lot of things, though, you know, like I really like some cover trends or styles that I've really enjoyed. I've really liked, I don't know if there's an official art term for it, but there's like that sort of realistic sort of line art sort of style that I've seen a lot lately. And I like that.
I know what you mean. Like, it's like it's illustrated, but it's kind of realistic looking, but it's still, you can still tell that it's illustrated. Is that what you're?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, and that's usually my favorite.
Yeah. And there's usually like thin lines that kind of make up that illustration. I think it's really pretty. Those sorts of covers also come with like really bold or strong pops of color. I think like surprising pops of color is really attractive. And like I mean, speaking as somebody who, I have a lime green book cover. Yes. And it is like so in your face.
Yeah.
And the first time I saw it, my first reaction was like, whoa, that's green. But then my second reaction was, people are going to notice it. And mm-hmm. it's so true. Like if I'm in a Barnes & Noble or a bookstore and I want to know if they have my book on the shelf, I just have to like cast my eye in the direction of P and I will know if it is on the shelf because it pops out. And I've had booksellers tell me like your cover really pops off the shelf. So I think like that was a strong choice, mm-hmm. just from like a practical perspective. But I also really like colors that you like wouldn't necessarily think like, oh, that color, but it really works. I also, you know, love I'm trying to think of how to describe this. When you look at a cover and you see like one big image, but then you realize that there's like another image or there's elements like within that big image, I think that can be really striking.
Okay.
Because it invites you to look a little bit closer.
What do you have like an example of that kind? I'm trying to picture what you're saying.
So yeah, like the biggest, I think, example would be like Leigh Bardugo's Six of Crows.
Okay.
Because that's kind of, it's almost like an optical illusion where you would like see, you know, the spires of like the Uncrooked Kingdom. It's like the spires of the city, but then you look closer and you realize that there's a second image. Or A Sitting in St. James by Rita Williams Garcia is also a really good example because I realize I'm really bad at describing things, but there's like a, you know, person on the cover, but then like within that person, there's like more detailed images of what is actually in the book. I think that like those types of covers can be really striking because they, like I said, they force you to like look closer. So I also am just a sucker for like anything like extra about covers or book design in general. Like if you have good embossing. Same. Yeah.
Yes.
Ribbons, sprayed edges, gorgeous end papers. Give me all that.
I know you just did a, didn't you just do an Etsy post on sprayed covers?
I did. Yes.
Which was fabulous.
We'll link to that in the show notes, but I did an Etsy post for the site, which is like all of these beautiful books that you can buy with like the sprayed edges. And, because so sprayed edges, if you look at like the, if you're not sure what the term is, if you look at a book block, so like the block of pages between the hardcover, if like the edges are colored, mm-hmm. that's like a really cool and striking design element, but a lot of publishers don't often do that in their own production process because it adds a lot of money. Surprise. So that's right. Why if you see it, it's usually like a first print run special edition type of thing. But because it's so popular, there's like this little cottage industry that's sprung up around offering this service. So there are multiple Etsy shops where you can either go and buy books that people have purchased and then done like the sprayed edges and then they sell them on Etsy. And like they sell them for a little bit of, you know, an upcharge because they're adding a design element to it. But you can also buy your own books and send them to them and they will do the sprayed edges. So like it just kind of makes your book feel like a collector's item rather than just another book, you know?
They're really pretty. Yeah. And they're personalized. The ones I've seen are personalized to like, you know, it goes with the main cover.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's like, you know, of course, covers a lot of times incorporate elements from the story. So that gets incorporated into the designed book edges. So they're really pretty, I have to say. Just throwing that out there.
Yes, totally. And I think that it's really like awesome when you see people using like stenciling and you know, freehand designing and drawing. Like I'm just amazed because like I don't have that artistic ability, but it's really cool to see it on books. And I think it's really awesome. Like if you have a book that you really love and you get like a really nice edition of it, and then you get like this exclusive art, you know, put onto that book, like it's just amazing. Like, why would you not want to keep that forever and treasure it? The only trouble is then I would probably be afraid to actually read said book because I wouldn't want it.
That's the thing.
Yeah. But
that's the thing.
Some people just collect books and that's totally fine.
That's also a separate thing from reading sometimes, is just buying the books and collecting them. I feel like sometimes if you, like, really love a book and, like, you already read it and you love it, if you see, like, one of those book edge designers, like, I feel like that would be a good little thing to do, because it's like, you already love it, so you already read it, so it could be, like, just something you have on display, maybe?
Totally.
I don't know if handling it will make some of the design come off, especially for those Etsy shops. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I don't know about the durability. I have a few books that have sprayed edges that I've just kind of kept, you know, like I've read and then I keep on the shelves. And they're ones that have been done by like the publisher. So
yeah.
I don't know about the difference in quality. The ones that I have, like the Leigh Bardugo, Six of Crows, and Crooked Kingdom, those came with black and red sprayed edges. And they've held up pretty well, but I've only like read those books maybe once or twice. So, you know, they haven't rubbed off.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we have a few books to talk about that have some beautiful, striking covers. We're going to see if it is fair to judge a book by its cover. But before that, we will get into our sponsor. This episode is sponsored by A Magic Steeped in Poison by Judy I. Lin with Fierce Reads. For Ning, the only thing worse than losing her mother is knowing that it's her own fault. She was the one who unknowingly brewed the poison tea that killed her, the poison tea that now threatens to also take her sister's shoe. When Ning hears of a competition to find the kingdom's greatest Xinongshi, masters of the ancient and magical art of tea making, she travels to the imperial city to compete. The winner will receive a favor from the princess, which may be Ning's only chance to save her sister's life. But between the backstabbing competitors, bloody court politics, and a mysterious and handsome boy with a shocking secret, Ning might actually be the one more in danger. This is a lush new fantasy world with court politics and a dash of romance that's inspired by Chinese and Taiwanese history and mythology. Puts a fantastical spin on the art of tea making. It's also the first in a duology with book two, which is titled A Venom Dark and Sweet, coming out this year as well in August. Thanks again to A Magic Steeped in Poison by Judy I. Lin with Fierce Reads.
And speaking of gorgeous covers, A Magic Steeped in Poison has a beautiful cover.
So pretty. Oh my God. So pretty. I love it.
It's actually like one of those books that I think if I saw in the store and I didn't know anything about it, I would pick it up and be like, I have to buy this. Like, it's just too beautiful.
I would just buy it. Yeah, yeah, it's so pretty. And I will say, I asked you earlier, like, what do you gravitate towards? And I will say that for me, yes. That, which that is being basically, I noticed that I too really love the illustrated covers, like where it's like in between, and I'm terrible at describing things as well. Like I don't have the art terms, but like kind of in between being realistic, but still obviously illustrated. Like it's not so realistic that it looks like a photograph, but it is like, you know, very, you know, in between, approaching realism. And I also realized that I tend to like covers that show young women or femme people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's just me or if it's like a trend in YA more, that there are just a lot of feminine people on covers in YA. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like we've gone through several sort of evolutions of that. Like,
yeah,
I'm old enough to remember when it was really popular in YA to have pictures of women, especially like girls in really beautiful dresses, but then like cut off their heads. So like the cover ended like right below the chin. And it became a joke where people would be like, no more headless girls. Like, come on, God. Like actually show their faces. So then you got like the trend of like girls in like really beautiful dresses. Like I'm thinking like The Bells by Danielle Clayton and Marie Rutkowski's Winner's Curse series. Like at least the first covers of those had, you know, this girl in really beautiful dresses. Like those were sort of part of the trend. And now I think we're seeing a lot more like realistic sort of illustrated covers where you actually see like the faces or the full bodies. And I like that. I mean, it's nice to see people's faces. And I think like maybe, I don't know. I wonder if designers were like afraid of like being too specific with like people's faces. And then like people would be like, well, that's not how I imagine the protagonist. So therefore they wouldn't like the cover. But I think like, well, first, what's the first thing you see? You see the cover first. You don't like read the book and then see the cover, except for in like really rare instances. So I don't necessarily think that that would be a turnoff, unless like the cover and like the person's description were like wildly different. Then it might kind of be like, what? But I think it's great to see so many more illustrated covers as well.
Yeah, and you bring up a good thing that I hadn't thought about concerning myself, and I'll ask you if you do this, but I'm like, as we're saying, like, when you see a book online or in the store, and it has a striking cover, and you're drawn to it, like, the process of seeing the book and buying it because of the cover, maybe, or at least, you know, partially because of the cover, and then reading it, for me, those are kind of two separate things, and you saying that just now about people like maybe not liking the picture on the cover because it doesn't align with how they envision the characters. I just realized, like, I don't actually, once I see a character on the book, I don't necessarily picture them as they are on the cover. I think I kind of picture them just based on how they're described in the book.
Yeah.
Do you like substitute their description with, as you're reading, with like the image they give you on the cover?
This is the part of the episode where I admit that I am not super visual when it comes to character appearances. Like, I like hearing about characters' appearances because I think appearances are obviously very important. And, like, it might be significant to know that you know, have a conventionally pretty redhead or, you know, whatever. I think, like, obviously physical appearance is important, especially when it comes to race too. Like, obviously the characters and what they look like, you know, that has an impact on the story. But like, as I'm reading, I don't feel like I'm a very, very, very visual person in the sense that I'm like picturing exactly what I think that they look like. This is why I'm also really terrible when people ask me like, what would your dream cast for this book be? Because I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But so like, for me, it doesn't bother me so much if like there's a difference and I don't necessarily like replace. I don't know. I don't, it's not that I don't picture things as I read. It's just that when it comes to the people, I don't spend a lot of time picturing what they actually look like beyond like bare bones, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes sense. I think I'm the same way, except like the book I just finished reading, the latest one I just finished reading, the main character's appearance throughout the book was part of the story. So for like that reason, I kept picturing her because she was turning into a demon. So her skin was like bright blue and people kept commenting on it.
Yeah, pretty important.
So that's kind of part of the story. But I think, past the basic, like the first description where they're like, oh, his hair was tousled.
I think tousled.
Words are escaping me today. Just pretend like I know English very well and it's my native language, because it is. And his skin looked like this and his eyes were round. And, you know, apart from that, I don't like super duper remember sometimes. So it's just interesting that you brought up that point that people get bothered by that, because I'm like, that doesn't affect me at all. So I was just wondering if you had that issue too.
Yeah, and it doesn't bother me. And I think like it bothers fewer people than maybe one would think.
Right.
And it's interesting to see how people react though when you change a cover, especially if like there's a person on the cover. Like, if you go from a cover that's more illustrated to a cover where there's, like, people on it, and how people react to, like, well, that's not how I pictured them. I think that's more of an issue when you have, like, reissues, but if it's a brand new book that nobody's read, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. Some cover designer out there or marketer out there could be like, well, actually, let me tell you about the reactions we've heard. But that's just kind of my gut take on it.
Yeah. Except like when you when they change the cover for the movie. Like the movie
I hate cover. That. Oh my gosh. Ooh,
we're not gonna talk about that. Like, especially when it's like, yeah, that is just, and then they put a sticker on it. Why I don't know why they stay putting like the stickers that are like within that become a part of the cover that you can't take off. That is super aggravating.
Stickers aggravate me. In general.
Like, yeah. I don't know why. Maybe some marketers like, well, actually, that helps to sell books. Because I'm like, every other, like, you know, bookish person I know or whatever, like, really does not care for it. So,
yeah.
I don't know what's going on with that. But what's a specific book that you feel like has a really pretty cover that you wanted to talk about?
Okay, I gasped the first time I saw the cover of Starling by Isabel Strecash because it's just really, it's really beautiful. So Starling has this cover that's kind of got like this ombre, like pink to blue. And it has like that same sort of what I was describing earlier with like the realistic sort of drawing, but it's more in like thin lines. And it's this couple that are embracing. And against the background in the blue is like this beautiful starry night sky. And then going down into the pink on the bottom, there are like trees and there's like a landscape. And so then the couple, he is blue and she is pink. And I don't know. It's just really, really gorgeous. And I also really like that it's like this deep, almost greenish blue contrasted with this really light, delicate pink. It's beautiful. And I think it's also a really good interpretation of the book as well, because the book is kind of dreamy. The book is magical. The book is like emotionally intense. So yes, Starling by Isabel Strecash is gorgeous in my opinion.
It is really pretty. And that's another good point you bring up, like, after the initial attraction to the cover that you and I seem to have a weakness for, I certainly do, it's like, how does the cover actually, like, represent the inside of the book? So, yes. I did mention this book in this week, well, it will have aired yesterday, for now, but like by the time this episode airs, it will be last week's episode for extra credit when I was talking about books that are like the movie Spirited Away by Hayao Miyazaki. Mm-hmm. It's called A Thousand Steps Into Night by Tracy Chi. And at first I wasn't going to include it because I just spoke about it. But as far as pretty covers go that look like, that like represent the inside of the book and are really pretty, this one features an illustrated, I guess you could say, Japanese girl, because it's Japanese folklore, mythology, and culture based. Although it's not set in actual Japan, but it's, you know, based off of that. So she is in, like, the clothing from that era, and it's probably, the time is not given, it's probably like in the 1700s or 1800s, something like that. And she's in this really bright red gown, Japanese inspired gown, and it's really this really pretty, like, striking red color. And then, like, the bottom half of the cover, the book cover, is like blue, and it kind of looks like a sea of blue. It's not a sea, but it's kind of just like abstractly placed. In the bottom left corner, there's this blue bird, it's like a magpie or whatever. And like I said earlier, the character's appearance is important in this book because, and this is not a spoiler, it's part of the main plot, it's like on the book blurb, she gets cursed and she starts turning into a demon throughout the book. And that's like her main goal in the book, is to stop that full transformation from happening, and she starts to turn blue. So what I really love about this cover is the striking bold colors and the pretty illustrations of it. So, and it definitely reflects like what's in the book too, which I think is nice.
Oh, yeah. That one's really gorgeous. I really, mm-hmm. really like that one. And I like the contrasting sort of bright colors, which I think is another element that you and I both share an yes. admiration for.
Love it.
Yes. Well, that's really similar to the next one I want to talk about. Like, similar in the sense that, like, we've got some really bold colors. So I really love Six Crimson Cranes by Elizabeth Lim. And the cover for the sequel, The Dragon's Promise, was just revealed rather recently. And I feel like this hits the sweet spot of, you know, these bold colors, but also realistic drawn girls on the cover. I love, love, love the illustrations. And I think, in fact, that the publisher actually commissioned paintings for these covers, which I think is really awesome. So this artist did these covers just, you know, did the drawings just for the books. So Six Crimson Cranes has, you know, this beautiful girl who's staring straight out at you. And then she's kind of surrounded by these cranes, white cranes with the red sort of heads. And I don't know, it's just really bold. And I love the typography. And then the sequel, The Dragon's Promise, has a blue and green dragon that she's surrounded by. And it's got this really bold yellow cover, or excuse me, yellow type for the title, which I think is really awesome. And I think you like those as well, too.
I stan Elizabeth Lim.
Her covers are so good.
Her covers, the first, like, I don't think this was her debut, but Spin the Dawn. That was my introduction to Elizabeth Lim. I think she might have other books, don't quote me. But that cover, I was like, gasp.
Yes.
And that one features a young woman with, like, this, I don't know what you call it, a kind of a glove that is missing two fingers and has two fingers. And she's holding this, like, tapestry with, like, the sun and clouds and stars and stuff. And there's, like, a lot of motion. And again, it's the illustrated. It's kind of in a very similar style as Six Crimson Cranes. And the colors are bold. And I like the typography. Thank you for some lingo, Tirza. Thank you. I need all the help with the words today. I need some help with all the words. So all of Elizabeth Lim's covers that I've seen are so pretty. And I think they're such a good representation of, like, things that I like in YA covers. So, yeah, I agree when you say, like, they kind of just gather up all those things really nicely that I like to see in covers.
Yes. And I like what you said about how they kind of, like, depict motion, because even in Six Crimson Cranes and The Dragon's Promise, like, the cranes are in motion. Her hair is kind of, like, got that windswept look. And then The Dragon's Promise, it's like the dragon is kind of, like, curling itself around her. And you get the impression that, like, he's in motion as well. It's just really cool.
It's just so nice. It's so nice. Whatever. Yes, the painting they commissioned, like, we need everyone to commission paintings for YA covers from henceforth.
Yes.
See here, gavel stricken. Yes. The next one I liked, that I would like to mention, I believe you read this one as well, This Poison Heart by Kaylin Barron.
Yes.
And so pretty. It shows a black girl with this beautiful afro and glasses. Oh, and I should say it's another, like, kind of realistically illustrated picture. And she's surrounded by plants. And she's kind of looking onward, kind of seriously or fiercely, if you want to say it like that. And the colors, I think, work really well together. Like, they are natural colors. Like, there's, you know, it's a lot of plants, so there's greens, there's some pinks, some reds, some purples. But they're also, like, if they're flowers, so they're pretty. They're pretty colors. And it has a lot to do with, has, like, a lot of elemental magic. It has Greek mythology, but it's, like, in the modern age. So, like, everything together, I think it's just such a pretty cover. And the cover for the second book is coming out later this year, and it's called This Wicked Fate, and it's in the same style, The color scheme is very different, though, for the second book. It has two black girls on there. They're holding hands. It kind of has more of like a kind of like a purpley theme because they're both wearing purple and the flowers are kind of purple and the background is kind of like a blue and green. I think I like the first cover a little better because I just really like it. But I like both. I will say I like both of them.
Oh, yeah. They're so great. I love the book and I can't wait for the sequel. What I also really like about this Poison Heart is I love her glasses.
Yes, her glasses are so nice. That's like the perfect, like, I would literally wear those glasses. Like, I have a big face. So, but like, I need those glasses to, like, you know, balance. Like, by the time I put glasses on, sometimes they look so small. But her fashions are A1 in this. Her glasses, her hair, her hoop earrings, it's very cute.
Yes.
Love it.
Totally agree. Let's see. I talked a little bit about Sitting in St. James at the top of the show. I just pulled up the cover on my phone so I could better describe it for you all. Mm-hmm. So the point that I was trying to make is like the cover is a silhouette. Like that's the first thing you see. But the silhouette you see is also made up of like a field. And then like you look into the silhouette and at the heart of it is a man on a horse. And you see somebody working in the fields. And in the very distance, you see like a plantation house, which is appropriate considering that this takes place in the South on a plantation. I think it's really gorgeous. I love like the dimension to that cover. But then the next cover I really wanted to talk about, because it's different from the ones that we have been chatting about, is the reissue edition of I Capture the Castle. So I Capture the Castle is a novel by Dodie Smith, and it was published in the 1940s, so that's kind of before young adult existed as a designation, but it has, you know, since been reissued. It's still in print, so I think that with its reissue, it's been marketed as a young adult book, which feels accurate. Like, it is a coming-of-age story about a teenage girl. And so very briefly, the book is about this family that lives in this castle that's falling down and it's in disrepair and the family is terribly poor and it's in England in the countryside. And the estate next door to them is purchased by rich Americans who have two young sons, like teenage sons. And immediately people kind of start thinking like, you know, maybe the oldest son will marry our oldest daughter and our financial woes will be solved because, you know, this is like the 1930s England. So the reissue edition is this really bright yellow, but like not a neon yellow. It's just a bright yellow. And then it's like this sort of almost like a die cut blue castle with green and white trees and hills. And then kind of spinning down from the bottom of the castle is a pen, a blue pen, which is significant because the book is told as a diary. And it's just really striking. The blue and the green and the yellow are colors that I don't know if I would have initially picked out for this book just because I don't get those vibes, but like they work really well together. The castle is pretty basic, but I think like the overall image is very, very striking. And then if you actually get the book in person, the cover is actually paper over board. So there's no like dust jacket or slip cover, and there's like a ribbon marker. Like, it's a really gorgeous hardcover book. And I think that this is an example of, you know, if you have a book that you really love and you really want like a nice copy, like this is it. And I love I Capture the Castle. It's one of my favorite books of all time. So the reissue edition is put out by Wednesday Books. It has a new foreword written by Jenny Hahn. It's definitely worth buying if you love this book. Or if you've never read this book, I highly recommend picking it up.
I'm going to have to read that book. You said it's like one of your favorite of all time.
One of my favorite of all time. Like, obviously, that's not a short list because reader.
That's saying a lot. Yeah.
But it's so good. It's so charming. It has, unfortunately, this beautiful edition has a blurb by an author who will not be named on this podcast that I absolutely cannot stand. But just like ignore that part and read the book because the book is so fantastic.
I will say, yeah, I will say that kind of like what you were describing about your own book, like when you see it in Barnes & Noble or, you know, a local bookstore, whatever, I feel like I would notice this book from afar. It's like bright, yes, like banana yellow, but it's a pleasant yellow, like you said. And I would not think to put these colors together, but it does really work. It is very, yeah. And then just how you described it, you said it had like a ribbon bookmark and stuff like that. So
it's so lovely. Like, it's the type of copy you buy and you're like, I immediately need to reread this because I would like to be seen in a coffee shop reading this book.
Because it's so pretty.
Yes.
That's definitely going on the list. I love a striking color.
Yeah. The only peril I will say about this cover, and it's something that I didn't think about because I actually read this book before this edition came out, is I had a friend who bought the book like without even knowing what it was about, because the cover is that beautiful that you would just buy it not knowing what it's about. And she legitimately thought it was a fantasy novel. And I was like, oh no, it's not fantasy. And she was really disappointed, but I was like, but I promise you it's still a really good book. So I think like people might look at it and think that it's a fantasy novel, like this like happy, gentle fantasy. And it's not, but it's still a wonderful book.
I did think it was a fantasy. Like, I heard what you were saying and I was like, oh, it's probably some kind of, there's fantasy somewhere in there. I definitely thought it was a fantasy. So it's a good, it's an important distinction.
Completely realistic, but still lovely.
Yeah, it sounds really nice. I will also break away a little bit from the covers we've been talking about for most of this episode and talk about Year of the Reaper by Makia Lucier. And this is, I don't know that I would call it pretty, but it's really striking to me and I really, really like the cover. So I'm going to count that as pretty because I really like it. And the cover, like, in addition to like reviews and reading a bit of it, helped me to buy it actually. So the cover features this person. They're kind of looking off. Their head is tilted a little down and they're kind of looking off into the distance and they're wearing what appears to be like kind of medieval armor, and they have a mace that they're holding with their left hand, and the mace is kind of hanging, like resting on their shoulder, their left shoulder. So that sounds kind of like blah, whatever. What's really super striking, and I think what does it for me, is that they are head to toe, they're like black. They're all black, like the color black, like onyx. And there are like these cracks in their face, and there's like, there are these cracks in like the armor, and in the distance there is a castle. It's kind of foggy and there's like an eagle flying overhead. And I think just all together, like the richness, just like the straight blackness, I'm just like, it draws me in and I'm like, okay, so what's going on there? Like, that's kind of like that's an unnatural human color for you to be like head to toe. It kind of almost looks like they're like covered in an obsidian or like a thin layer of tar or something like that. So it just really drew me in to want to know like what the story is about. And it kind of does take place in like medieval-ish times. It's about Cass. And I will also say, I do believe that this is the person on the cover is a young man, which is a difference from my usual, you know, young woman on the cover. So that's cool. But it's about Cass, who is a nobleman who can see ghosts. He was like captured by enemy soldiers and he worked for a while as an indentured servant. Then a plague swept over the land and that gave him a chance to escape. So, you know, if you're not trying to read about a plague, you know, heads up on that. But he escapes, he goes back home, and the first day he's home, he ends up like saving the royal family's infant son, the king and queen's, you know, like the prince, the baby prince. And so like everyone's basically like, oh my God, you're back, great, you know, like, you know, we were worried about you. You were like a prisoner of war and stuff like that. It's good you're back. But some people are, you know, kind of shady about it. So there's some little mystery there. And then people who are close to the queen start to die. They're getting murdered, basically. And Cass sets out to figure out who's killing them. And he gets help from the king's sister. Her name is Lena. She's an historian. So the two basically trace the steps of the killer and they start to unearth some troubling things about the queen. Things that could potentially end the 50 years of peace the kingdom has been experiencing. Because when the queen and the king married, their kingdoms were at war. So them marrying helped bring peace to the land, basically. So I think this does a good job of exploring like trauma, loss, and morality and stuff like that. And it's interesting because I said, like, it does kind of appear to be, like, medieval times, but the characters are described as having, like, bronze and golden skin tones and, like, dark hair and eyes and stuff like that. So there is that. But Year of the Reaper by Makia Lucier. I love the cover. I think it's so striking. It's so striking to me.
Yeah, it's really striking. Mm-hmm. And that's one, like, I don't know if that book would have been on my radar otherwise, except for I saw the cover and I kept like seeing it in coverage and whatnot. And I was like, okay, I need to figure out what this book is about because it looks really interesting.
And I like that there's definitely a trend. I think you and I have are probably targets for the marketing. Like the other covers that we've discussed have been kind of similar in ways. So it's those kind of covers, they obviously do work, even for people who see a lot of covers like us, who read a lot and stuff like that. So I do like how with this one, they took like a totally different turn from like what else is out there, you know, in plentiful numbers, whatever. But yeah, this is really cool.
Awesome. I think it's time for another sponsor.
For sure.
So, did you know that Book Rat has over 25 newsletters covering every genre, as well as book news and deals? Sign up for book deals to get notified about the best book sales of the day, handpicked by our editorial staff. Then there's Today in Books, which sums up the most interesting literary headlines every day. The Riot Rundown, which is our roundup of our most exciting new content. And finally, our New Books newsletter that compiles a list of the week's best new releases and comes to you every Tuesday, which, if you didn't know, is new release day in publishing. We also have newsletters for horror fans, romance readers, YA enthusiasts, mystery and thriller aficionados, and more. Just go to bookriot.com/newsletters to sign up for whichever ones are most interesting to you. All right. So let's see. What else have we covered what else do we still have that we want to talk about? Because I feel like I'm getting excited to talk about my final pick. Are you ready to go into that?
Yes. I think that sounds like a good idea.
Okay. So this is kind of funny because we both picked books by the same author. And then I was like, why don't we just talk about all of our covers in general? Mm-hmm. We love Nina LaCour's covers, which I think is, you know, pretty fair. A lot of people really love her covers. So I know that you want to talk about her newest hardcover cover, but really quickly, I want to talk about the fact that like sometimes a cover is so successful, so beautiful, and it like really sort of nails, I think, an author's identity in terms of like all of their books, that publishers will reissue like their entire backlist with covers that like sort of match. So they kind of look like they're part of a series, even if they're not. And that is what has happened with Nina LaCour's sort of cover makeover backlist. So We Are Okay is her Prince Award winning novel. And it has a very distinctive style of, you know, that sort of simple line drawn, but sort of realistic looking cover. And that was so popular that they have reissued her first book, Hold Still, but then also The Disenchantments, Everything Leads to You, and now the paperback edition of Watch Over Me. They are all done in that style, which has like these really bright, bold colors that sort of like it has like one color that sort of defines it with a few accent colors. And then these beautiful drawings, and they're really saturated. They're really lovely. They're very striking. And the cover Illustrations are all done by the artist Adams Cavallaro, who has a great Instagram page. And that is definitely this artist's style. And I will link that in the show notes. But if you just like page through the Instagram page, it's like all of the art is kind of similar in tone and style. And I think that's really perfect for Nina LaCour's books, because her books are kind of dreamy, very emotionally intense, and they're just really intimate as well. So those covers, I think, are perfect. This is like one instance where I don't mind that the publisher has redone all the covers, except for the fact that my wallet minds, because now I want them all, even though I already own all her books.
That's the thing. Oh my gosh. They know what they're doing.
Yes.
For some authors, definitely. Like, you will definitely be like, you know what? I already read this and I have like the paperback or whatever, but I'm about to blow some money on these new covers here. I like how you described, that's so true. Like the new like reissued covers really do fit the kind of like dreamlike landscape. And they look like you're in this kind of like other dimension, like either a dream world or like kind of an in-between, like, you know, other plane of existence, kind of.
Yeah.
In addition to being striking and pretty, it's like very trippy in a way.
Yes. Which is awesome, but like it also, I mean, I really do like the one that you're going to talk about, which was the hardcover cover of Watch Over Me. Because it has the same vibes, but in a very different style.
Yes. And I love that. Okay, so Watch Over Me, the original one that wasn't like was before the reissue, features a young woman, surprise, surprise, in a like a realistic illustration. And she has light skin and she's kind of looking downward. Her face is kind of like, she looks kind of sad. And she has like long blonde hair that is kind of like falling upward.
Yeah.
By that I mean, it looks like it's falling, like, say if you kind of leaned, if someone was lying on the bed and their head was kind of laying off the edge of the bed and their hair was falling down, it kind of looks like that, except that it's falling up, it's going up instead of down, and it's kind of going up past the cover, and in her hair she has these, like white and pink flowers, and again, I get this sense of motion, kind of. And it kind of gives me this idea of drowning in a way. Like, the hair that's falling around her face, that's actually falling down around her face, it almost seems kind of, like, wet. And there's this, like, there's great texture to the picture. And I should also say the background is, like, a light blue. So all of the colors kind of work together. It's kind of like a soft, all around a soft color palette. And it gives me this sense of, like, with the expression on her face, it kind of gives me this sense that she's kind of, like, drowning in depression in a way, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just so fitting for what the story is about. So it's about Mila, who has aged out of the foster care system. She gets a job, and she goes to work at a farm in Northern California. But she's, like, it's, like, haunted by the other young people that used to be there that have escaped. And she's kind of haunted by her own terrible memories. So I feel like it really works. And just, like, the kind of uncanniness of, like, your hair falling up or, like, being held up and just, like, everything from the picture, I feel like it does give you that sense of kind of, like, magical realism, kind of, like, dreamy. Like you were saying, basically, it's kind of communicating the same feel as the reissued covers, but just in a different way.
Yeah, totally. It's so beautiful. And I think that was another one that was, the artwork was commissioned by an artist, like, as a painting. And I remember when that book was coming out, Penguin was running a pre-order campaign where if you pre-ordered the book, you got that cover art without, like, the typography as an art print. Yeah, I know. And I remember being really tempted at the time to like submit or like pre-order and, you know, submit my receipt to get that because the print is just really striking. And I think I didn't because like Penguin sent me, you know, a finished copy since I work for the site and I do a lot of, you know, books. So, and but like now I have regrets. I really wish that I had gotten that because it's like, it's so beautiful. Like I would totally frame it and hang it in my house. That's how lovely it is.
Yeah, it's really. And I think the motion makes sense. I'm obviously not like a professional art describer, but like the motion that I'm seeing, especially like in, I don't know if that's a shawl or just some abstract image that's kind of surrounding her shoulders. It looks like waves and it does look like brush strokes. So that I feel like that's kind of where partially where the motion that I'm detecting is coming from. So it makes sense that it was painting. It's a painting. So it's so pretty. I would definitely frame it and put it somewhere. Gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally. It's beautiful. So, yeah. And I think, the other thing about this, because I don't know if you have like a hardcover finished copy. If you open up the book, there's like another version like of the cover, but her eyes are open.
What? I think I have a paperback. Do I have the? I literally just got it.
It's so beautiful. Either way.
It's so pretty. Yeah. I just got it. And it was partially why I got it.
I have a hardcover, so I wonder if maybe that's not something that made it into the first paperback. But either way, it's just, yeah, it's really striking. So
it's so pretty.
Yeah, I mean, really, what were you saying before we started recording? Like, in this day and age, there's no excuse for an ugly cover. Like,
there's
it's
not.
Just, there, you know, we have so much available to us in terms of, like, technology and talent as well.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, you can find people just, you know, on the internet. Like, maybe you can help to discover someone. There are so many great artists out there. And even though, as we've said a couple times in this show, you know, you and I may tend to gravitate towards kind of similar, like, you know, illustrated girl on the cover, pretty bright colors. Some of the other ones that we've mentioned, stray away from that trend. So there are so many possibilities in terms of, and artists, like there are so many artists that would come up with so many other interesting motifs and covers. So no excuses.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure some cover designers are like shaking their heads at us. Like, you have no idea how hard it is, which
it's
is
so
true.
I'm sure it is.
We have so much respect for you because you make book covers so pretty. And I know it's hard too because I think one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that major retailers like Barnes & Noble actually do have a lot of say in covers as, you know, whether or not, you know, a cover will fly with them because they have the power to say, like, if this is the cover, we won't carry it in our stores. And that's really tough.
Oh,
like,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something that I don't think a lot of people realize that, like, you know, big retailers, you know, have that sway. And I've even heard that like Walmart would be like, I would carry, you know, we would carry this book in our stores, but like, you have to change the title or you have to change this. And wow. I mean, publishers will do that change. So it can sometimes be difficult. There's a lot of like marketing stuff that goes into creating these covers. We're making it sound like, oh, it's just simple, make something beautiful, but I'm sure it's not. But I also feel like we are simple. We just want pretty things on our books.
Honestly, I just want a good book that looks pretty on the outside.
Yeah. Before we wrap things up, we just wanted to like share a few resources. So one thing that if you like love a cover, oftentimes you can discover who the artist is, like follow them on Instagram, support their work, buy stuff from their online shops. If you have ever gone looking for a book cover artist, it's usually pretty easy. Like on hardcover books, that's usually on the back flap of the dust jacket. On paperbacks, it's usually on the back cover. If you don't see it there, try looking on the copyright page. So there's a couple different things to keep in mind. So if you see a cover designer name, that's usually the person at the publishing house who's responsible for designing the cover. Like they take the art, but then they also design like all the other cover elements, like making it come together to look you know, like a book. So they'll put the title on, they'll put, you know, the typography, they will like design the layout, and all of like the really cool sort of artistic details on the inside of the book. That is what a designer does. Then oftentimes the artist is somebody different and they're the ones who actually create the cover art. So both designers and artists are hugely influential in making books look gorgeous and putting them together. I highly recommend also following cover designers on Instagram if you can find them. Not everybody has Instagram pages, but they're really fun to follow. A couple other Instagram accounts to follow if you really just love book covers. Random House YA Design. They have an account where they showcase their covers and they sometimes talk about the process, as does Wednesday Design. So Wednesday Design is with Wednesday Books, which is a imprint of Macmillan, and they are the ones behind the I Capture the Castle cover. So they will often sometimes put out videos and just images of their processes, which I think is really cool to see. So definitely check those out. And then we're also going to link a Book Riot article to cover designers on Instagram that you can follow.
Yes.
So yeah, that is it for us this week. Thanks so much for hanging out and talking about book covers, and let us know what book covers you love and what some of your favorites are. You can always email us at heyya@bookriot.com. And please feel free to leave us some feedback on the show. You can leave us feedback on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and let us know how we're doing. That also helps others find us. Don't forget to visit bookriot.com for newsletters, more podcasts, and all things bookish. Thanks to today's sponsors for making the show possible, and thanks as always to our amazing audio editor, Jen Zink. Finally, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I hang out at Tears of Price. And Erica, how about you?
I am occasionally on Twitter at Erica, that's E-R-I-C-A _E-Z-E_. So yeah, come say hi.
Yeah, we like talking with people. So we will be back here in 2 weeks. And until then, happy reading.
Happy reading.